those albums. This is why I miss CDs, because sometimes they put a hidden track in a CD. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I remember 1977 by Ash.
Ash, what?
Ash, do you remember them? They had a song on there called Kung Fu, I think. Anyway, there was a hidden track on there. So like you got to like track three and then you rewound and it went into a track that was hidden, which was fucking very cool.
Yeah.
Right? So what it did was, track three that was listed was actually track four.
Oh, yeah, okay, I know.
So as it was playing through, it went one, two, three, and then it skipped to five. Sorry.
It went one, two, four.
And then skipped to four.
Yeah, right.
It's pretty cool. Or like, there was like...
People might have that album and never known
it. I know, right? Well, there you go, 1977 by Ash.
Yeah, quick.
Go and get it. Or don't go and get it. But if you've got it, have a look.
Yeah, don't even get it. You'll spend ages trying to find that on CD.
It's somewhere around there. Is it? I've probably got some records. Records. I've probably got some albums that are got hidden tracks on them. Or like you know, like you get like 20 minutes of silence afterwards.
Yeah.
You're like falling asleep to the album, and then all of a sudden, like fucking Phil Anselmo comes on with, like a fucking power metal track on the end of the album. You're like, what the fuck? Oh shit! I fell asleep. It's Pantera. Okay.
I'm still angry.
I'm still No, I can't sleep. I'm gonna go and watch more Beavis and Butthead. Okay, I've got a Beavis and Butthead figure coming for the wall.
What's the plan?
I've no idea.
Just freestyling.
I've got like 10,000 fucking Hot Wheels as well. I was gonna put them up somewhere, but I'm not sure where. Can't put them up here because that's another set that we're building.
That's not gonna go with that set.
It's not, is it?
No. Well, we'll build another one.
And you got just some reads to do or something?
Well, you have an intro as usual.
Oh,
I don't know if
is this what you do? You just wait.
I'm like, that's like the cue.
Oh,
it's
is
like,
it?
You do the intro. I do the reads.
We've been rolling for like 15 minutes now. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Outlaw Picks podcast. It is bright as fuck in here.
Yeah,
I feel like I've been sitting like, in front of lights for like 3 days straight.
Yeah, you had a long one, didn't you? A long one.
It was long. It felt longer because the last fight was so bad.
Disappointing, yeah. Never mind.
But we won't talk about that.
Well, we will in a minute. After
will we?
Days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right. We've got a new sponsor. NordVPN have come on board. It's someone we've used for a long time. We've both bounced around the world a little bit. And any time we've been out of the country and been wanting to watch stuff back in the UK or vice versa, we have used NordVPN. Regularly. They're very good, very simple and very effective. And this is a totally random scenario that some people might find themselves in. Completely random. I've just picked out of, you know,
what, like
out of thin air. Like if I was in America, for instance.
Yeah.
And there was a, let's call it a sports analysis show being created in the UK.
Okay.
Right. And then, I don't know, there was some like, again, totally random, mega corporation headed up by a TRT-based baby. You know, that they happen. And they decided they were going to make this very difficult and it was geo-blocked.
Yeah.
If I had NordVPN, it wouldn't matter.
It wouldn't matter.
And you know why I'd like that? Because I don't like my liberties being fucked with. So I'd just use my NordVPN.
That might be the best sponsor read you've ever done.
It might be, mightn't it?
I love that hypothetical scenario that you just created.
Totally random hypothetical scenario.
I mean, it was almost like you'd thought about it in your head previously.
It was almost like I'd written it down word for word on the notes in front of me. No, but you know, these things happen, don't they?
Yeah.
And there's way around.
They do.
There are ways around these things.
They do. And in totally unrelated news.
Right.
My breakdown show goes up on the BT Sports YouTube channel.
Does it?
This evening, actually. So by the time the podcast up, it'll already be up.
Wow.
But it is... It is restricted to the UK, though. So, unfortunately, if you're outside of the UK, you won't be able to watch it.
Well, you can.
Is there a way?
There is a way, yeah.
Oh, shit.
So, if you go to NordVPN... /outlawed...
It better appear there, otherwise...
Yeah,
I like
exactly there. NordVPN/outlawed. Not only will you be able to access the said show, but you'll get 73% off your two-year plan and 4 months free of charge. And if you decide I am talking shit like usual, you can get a 30-day money back guarantee. So it's up to you. But there are ways to stop your liberties being fucked with. And this is one of them.
Love it.
Yeah. Ah, I didn't put the C4 out.
It's just right there. I always keep one on hand.
You do. Right,
I've still got the empty can from the last podcast.
Hold on a second.
I had a 45-minute bag workout after that last podcast. I did, honestly. It was like, what was it, like 11:30 at night? And by the time you went, I was like kind of pacing around. I'm like, okay, let's go to work. Yeah, there you go.
I'm having this one, by the way.
All right, then.
Because I've got to work out more.
Because I'm running a bit low.
Yeah, I know.
You're robbing the good one.
Yeah, I'm robbing. Well, they're all good, Dan.
Mate, that's my favourite.
These ones are too colourful for you.
That's my favourite. I've got two left.
Yeah, but there's more on the way. Angel said he's sending them.
Okay. An angel's sending them.
An angel is sending caffeine. Oh, no, that would have. Go on, Amy, you have to get rid of that one. Yeah, apologies, C4, for not putting those out. We normally have them front and centre.
This one is actually quite good, the peach mango nectar. But I have to only drink half of this and put it in the fridge for a bit, because I'm caffeine sensitive, as Andrew Huberman would say.
I'm caffeine dulled. I'm caffeine dulled from years of excess.
Numb. And Jimmy's dependent.
Yeah. C4, back on board.
Nice.
Smart energy. I like it. So as anyone who has watched this podcast previously, you'll know we have cultivated a relationship with C4 Energy. If you would like 30% off your order, go to c4energy.com and use the code FULLREPTILE for 30% off. Again, apologies, it's only for people in the US. They are only shipping in the US at the minute. So go get it. We are all about C4. We're really enjoying it. I am going to inhale this pretty soon. There we go.
Okay.
All right, we're on. We better knock the biggest disappointment of the weekend out of the way first.
I'm not that disappointed in you.
For once, we're not talking about me. Although...
Well, I'm on my guard because you said you were going to mug me off in this episode.
I'm going to mug you off, you know. Okay. It's only a little mug off, but they're still quite high risk, bearing in mind the combative capabilities of the two people sat around this table. It's only a little mug off. Tyron and Jake Paul.
Yeah.
You were obviously working during...
I was working.
Analyzing.
I was sat between Joe Weller and John Fury.
Right, that's pretty cool.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty cool.
It was a long night though.
Yeah,
we sat down on the set at midnight.
Yeah,
and then we got up off the set at 6 a.m. and then I drove back.
Should have took some C4 with you instead of that nasty ass coffee they put on sets.
I should have done you right. Yeah. It was awful. It was awful. I'm still not feeling right from the coffee.
No.
It's just bad shit. Just, you know, TV studio coffee. It's never good.
Don't need coffee when you've got C4.
Good. It was a good time, though.
Yeah.
I always enjoy spending a bit of time with John Fury.
He looks fascinating.
He is an interesting dude.
He looks like
a
breed of human that is not going to last for
honestly,
much longer.
Especially not the pace that he's living at.
No.
Honestly. So, like, I think he lives up in Manchester. He was in Nottingham. So, he was up in Glasgow on, like, Friday. He was in Nottingham on Saturday doing like a charity like 5K run.
Wow.
And bear in mind, the guy's 18 stone, from 25. Like he's massive, he's huge.
Technically in shape then.
Oh, yeah. Mate, it was incredible. So he did it in 29 minutes as well, 5K.
Did he?
It's not bad, is it? Anyway, and then he drove down to the BT studios and did, 6 hours on air?
Yeah.
Got back in his car and drove north to Manchester.
Maniac.
Crazy.
Maniac.
Yeah.
The
main event was shit though, wasn't it? If we're honest. The rest of the card was good. Because the thing is, everybody's focused on the main event and people have probably not watched the rest of the card.
No, I haven't.
Like, co-main event was Amanda Serrano against, I can't say her name, Yamileth Mercado. She was Mexican.
Was she?
I'll get told off for not saying it right by Veronica.
Yeah, you will.
Anyway, that was a hell of a fight.
Yeah.
So Serrano is 41-1 now.
Wow.
With just about every belt available. But she's also 2-0 in MMA and she's had two submissions, so that's kind of terrifying.
Yeah, that is, yeah.
Right. It's
weird that she would cross over to MMA and get two subs.
Yeah, exactly. First round subs as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe she's out to prove a point.
Well, I think she's running out of opponents. She's looking for other places to go. And, you know, she's got the exposure of Jake Paul behind her. I bet she made bank at the weekend.
Yeah, she probably did.
More than ever before. So that'd be able to...
I mean, that's the thing. Like, I don't love Jake Paul's character necessarily. But he's 24 and he's disrupting a sport that is could be said is a bit dusty.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And like my personal, I like disruptive things. Do you know what I mean? Like I liked Uber. I like crypto. I like online banking, online only banking. Do you know what I mean? I like things that disrupt dusty old institutions, and that's what he's doing.
Mm.
And it's hard to it's easy to hate on him. It's very easy to hate on him. And you know, I'm not fascinated by him as and his person. I don't buy into the character side of it necessarily. He's not someone I'd want to hang out with, but. You know, he's doing something different.
Yeah,
and he's creating a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah,
for himself, really.
Well, this is it. You know, I mean, he's talking about fighter pay, and he's paying the guys on his undercard well. I don't mind him. You know, I mean, it's better for people to be watching boxing than not, isn't it?
Yeah,
and it doesn't really matter what they're watching.
Well, I bet those lights are more now.
I was considering because the thing is, when we're conversing, there's no eye contact.
Yeah, I can't see
you
shading my.
I mean, I have got these fabulous UFC Fight Night ones, which
is even worse.
Look at them, but we don't.
No,
they're the old UFC branding.
Right.
Most people won't even notice that the UFC branding changed.
No,
and this is one of those funny stories of like, you know, like the Americans spending millions of dollars developing a pen that works in space and in anti-gravity, and the Russians use a pencil. Yeah, like at one point they redesigned the UFC logo, and it was like this whole big deal. Oh, UFC logo is being redesigned. You can imagine how much fucking stupid money they spent on it. Do you know what came back? They put corners on the C.
Is that all that's happened?
That's all they changed.
I didn't even know that had happened, so...
See?
Do you know what I mean?
Someone got paid a ton of money for that.
Definitely a consultant as well. Definitely a consultant.
I bet it took them weeks.
We need to outsource this project. I bet it's $1 million.
I bet... you know that there were two options for the UFC, and that was option B. And the first option had fucking cage fencing in it. or spiders and fucking bat wings and shit.
Yeah.
Anyway...
Yeah.
We keep diverting. Look, I'm diverting away from the Jake Paul thing.
He's gonna continue picking and choosing his.
He said he's retired as of today.
Oh, did he?
That's what he said. But then he was calling out Conor McGregor a couple of hours ago. The thing is, he can call out whoever he likes. He was calling out McGregor and Masvidal and the Diaz brothers.
He doesn't even have to do it anymore. His name is in everyone's mouth already.
The thing is, none of them can fucking fight him anyway. No. Not one of them can fight. I think Matt Brown called him out today. Matt Brown can't fight him if he's under contract.
No chance.
Unless maybe he's fought out his contract. But he won his last one. So if he's under contract, they'll still be keeping claws in.
I mean, Tyron was...
In both senses.
He just had the...
Anyway.
Yeah.
He looked shit, didn't he? Let's be honest, he looked shit. Like, after he cracked Jake Paul in, what was it, the third round, where he almost knocked him through the ropes?
Don't give it this.
Go finish something.
Go finish it.
And you can't whine about the decision after you've just let it slip away from you.
Like,
boxing's not MMA. It's not about clubbing someone with the biggest shot. It's about accumulating shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said to you earlier, didn't I? I think Teddy, I don't know where I saw it. Teddy Atlas said that, and you tweeted something very similar, that Tyron had chosen the conservative route to get the decision.
Yeah.
But the sacrifice of that conservative route, it was costing the chance to win. Mm-hmm. Like, the worst thing that could have happened is he took a risk and got knocked out by Jake Paul. He just wouldn't be able to go in a gym again, would he?
No.
Do you know what I mean? He wouldn't be able to face the MMA community ever again.
Exactly.
He chose to not take that risk and not try and win. And then he lost the decision and, you know,
that's
his fault really, isn't it?
Like those last couple of rounds, he could have put his foot on the gas and he could have got him out of there.
Yeah.
If Tyron if that was a legitimate boxing match and he was fighting a respectable opponent, he might have put his foot on the gas.
Mm.
But because it was Jake, I agree. Because it was Jake Paul, I don't think he did. But anybody, I've seen a bunch of people saying, oh yeah, no, it was fixed and stuff. And they just don't understand the psychology of the fighters if they think that. It was risk management on Tyron's part, you could say. It's like when they do these submission only grappling matches. Like, if two guys come from two different gyms, like they both kind of fight cagey because they would rather it just go to a draw and be nullified than take the risk and lose position. So they get boring.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's a shame,
like,
isn't it?
Yeah, and what you find is a lot of people don't like the Eddie Bravo style of you get 10 minutes, then they put you in a bad position.
Mm.
It's like, well, fucking do something then, you know?
Yeah, that only evolved to force action.
Yeah.
Like if everyone just went in and
force a conclusion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's either that or have a decision, and then that's always up for argument. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, if you're a good grappler, you can be tested in different ranges.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Mm.
Especially if you know what you're training for. It's not like it's a random thing.
So where does the Jake Paul train stop? Like if he loses, I didn't know he said he was retiring. I can't imagine
he ain't retiring.
Do you know what I mean? But if he gets one loss, is it done?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, I actually, there was an interview that stood out to me in the build-up to this weekend, and it was like every now and then with Jake Paul, like with someone like McGregor, because they play a character in public all the time, very occasionally you just see like a glimpse where they're just themselves for a moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know whether, I mean, I would expect Jake Paul to be calculated enough to have played this game, but it might not be. It might have just been him being genuine. But he was kind of talking to the camera like, you know, like he's, you know, he was a UFC champion. I mean, he's dangerous. He could knock me out. And I think what we have to realize about Jake Paul is that it's not really, people aren't watching him because he's an undefeated boxer.
Yeah.
Like that's the illusion of boxing, you know, like Tommy Fury didn't have a great performance. He had a really awkward opponent that was either way out or way in and was like 10 inches shorter than him. It was just an awkward mismatch, really, which made it difficult for Tommy to look very good. But I also think, you know, it's not a bad opponent for Jake Paul to take on after this. But where do you go from Tyron Woodley? Like you've got to go either another pro, and you don't want to be fighting a journeyman that's not got a name.
Mm.
Like consider this, right? So Tommy Fury's first three opponents, their collective records were 12 wins and 156 losses. You know, but that's the nature of boxing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, your first 10 opponents have got records like that. Yeah. Sometimes you'll fight the same guy two or three times because there's not enough journeymen on the circuit at your weight class. Like, I remember I had a friend of mine, Ricardo, who was an excellent boxer, and he went from like England squad to turning pro. Mm. I think he was like 64-3 was his amateur record. And when he turned pro, he went 4-0, but he fought the same journeyman twice in those four fights. And the reason he stopped is because he was offered him again for his fifth fight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a guy called OJ Abrams. Yeah. Like, I bet he's got a ridiculous record now. But he was like a every weekend fighter, sometimes Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
And his job was there to test the young up and coming prospects and kind of give them work.
Jake Paul was like leapfrogged all of that whole process, isn't he?
Yeah.
And now, I mean, he's been choosing manageable, older, slower, smaller guys than him.
Yeah, I think he saw Tyron as a manageable risk. Yeah, look, OJ Abrams, 20 wins and 76 losses. He's only been stopped 12 times, though.
Yeah.
Sorry, he's only been stopped 18 times, but he's, you know, his nickname's Me, Myself, and I. Brilliant. Yeah, but he was, you know, he's just a journeyman. Anyway, as you were saying. Yeah, this is the thing. Like, you can't fight someone like this. So now he's got to either fight a boxer or he's got to try and find another MMA fighter that has the same kind of interest. Or what's most likely to happen is we're going to get a rematch.
Yeah.
And he's going to fight Tyron again. And it's going to be another fucking standoff where neither of them do anything.
Yeah. Do you want to watch that?
No, not really. Not really. I mean,
Do people want to watch that?
Probably not really, but they will.
Yeah.
And the reality is they will. And you're going back to your question, where does it kind of end with Jake Paul? I don't think it matters if he gets knocked out. Like, he's been doing stupid stuff since he was a teenager.
Yeah.
Like, you look at some of the highlight reels they play of him during the show of him, like, getting, like, tasered by his brother and stuff. And, like, he's a bit of a clown. It's like modern Jackass, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like this generation's, you know, Jackass, isn't it?
Like, he's a new Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised that Johnny Knoxville's not ever took a boxing match or an MMA fight to
probably
get beaten
has.
Up. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Steve-O definitely would.
Yeah.
You know, he's often octagon side at the UFC.
He loves it.
Give him a set of gloves, he'd jump in. You know.
100%. But it's not going to last very long, but he'd jump in.
I think anybody that's been following Jake Paul since he was younger, if he gets knocked out in boxing, then they're not going to dislike him.
I genuinely didn't know who he was until this all happened. Like, it's just a generational gap in it.
Yeah. Smart move, though.
Yeah, I mean, God, how much money has he made?
Fucking tons.
Tons of money.
I don't want to see the rematch, though.
Nah.
But I'd like to invite Tommy Fury.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's an unmanageable fight for either of them. Honestly,
they're similar sizes.
Yeah. Pretty much identical.
Yeah.
I think he's 6'1", 6'2", same as Jake Paul. They're about the same weight, same size. It makes perfect sense. Like, one's 4-0, what's Tommy now? 7-0.
Yeah.
You know, Tommy didn't look great against one of Jake Paul's sparring partners.
Yeah.
Like, Jake Paul will look at him
it
and
makes
go,
some
oh, well,
noise, wouldn't it? Like, yeah. If they're constantly looking at trying to make noise, it would make some noise.
The Furies will make some noise. Yeah, for sure.
You know?
They already got into it a little bit.
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
I think that's the one that makes the most sense. Because otherwise, what's going to happen is they're going to keep building Tommy Fury up, and he's going to keep fighting these guys that are kind of, you know, well, he's on the American circuit now, so he'll get a whole new bunch of journeymen to build himself up. But, you know, he's probably 10 fights away from a relevant boxing match.
Yeah. At that stage in a boxing career, how many times a year are you fighting?
3, if you're healthy.
So still a good 3 years away from a decent name.
Yeah, a long way. I mean, you look at Daniel Dubois, who had a first round knockout, but he was fighting a guy that was, 19-3? Like, he's not a world beater by any means. And Dubois put him out of there in the first round, but even in the process of putting him out of there, he still looked reckless.
Right.
He still got caught with shots that other good heavyweights would have put him away with. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
So, like, he's 17-1 now. Like, Dubois is still probably 8 fights away from
something.
Being a decent, being a good heavyweight pro. And he's in the mix with the good UK heavyweights as well, you know, like Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury. It's not a mix he wants to be in just now. He's already lost to Joe Joyce.
Yeah.
Anyway.
There we go. Like you say, we don't necessarily want to watch it again, but when it happens,
we will.
We'll probably watch it again.
God damn it, I clicked on that. There we go. Okay.
All right, shall we have a quick look at the fight night that's just been? There was some good action.
Let's.
Good action from there.
Darren Stewart is just not a light heavyweight, is he?
No, but he doesn't want to be a middleweight either, does he?
Yeah.
He's just had a bad year, isn't he? I think he might have even tweeted out, "I've just had a bad year. I'm just going to go away, take some time, and work out what I'm doing."
Yeah.
Because it's been bad, isn't it?
Yeah. I think he might need a change of training.
Yeah.
I think he needs someone fresh that can bring influence. It together a little bit, bring some balance to his game.
I knew this was going to be hard though, didn't you?
I mean, Jack is a good kickboxer, isn't he?
And he's long, and he's taller than him, and he's tough, and he's hard, he's a hard dude, isn't he? Like, he's fought some tough
and
guys.
A legit light heavyweight.
Yeah. I don't know. He's got to change something. He can't go back and keep doing what he's been doing and expect anything to change other than lowering the level of his opponent, which is not the right mindset for someone in the, you know, in the premier organization, is it?
No. But then, you know, like, if the UFC released him, he'd come back to Cage Warriors and you know, be the middleweight champ, I would say. I mean, Matt Bonner's the middleweight champ, but I think Darren Stewart would get to him.
We do see these guys, though, that kill their domestic scene, but then aren't quite good enough on the world scene, don't they? Every now and again.
Yeah. And sometimes people step up and don't do too well, come back and win 5 fights and then go back. I mean, Peter Zapata did that. Nicholas Dalby did that.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, sometimes there's that second opportunity. I still think he's a middleweight, though.
Yeah.
I still think he's a middleweight. I mean, just height and reach. You put him in there against, like, Santos or Rakic or, you know, Anthony Smith, 6'4".
No, not happening.
He would look small.
But I can't remember what he said. I remember when he decided to move up, didn't he? He basically said, "I'm done.
Yeah.
All I think about is the food and the calorie control during the camp, and I'm not focused on my, you know, the art of fighting and stuff." But then in that case, he's stuck then, because he's definitely not. I can't see him in that weight class.
Yeah, maybe match him up against William Knight. He's like 5'10" as well. Be a good banger.
Yeah.
Talking of bangers, what about that 17-second knockout for Abdul Razak Al-Hassan?
Unbelievable. Just two things happening at the same time. Just
How many times do you see people slip in a right hand onto a head kick, though? Or slip in a jab onto a head kick, like Matt Brown did against Cowboy.
Full shin to temple as well, wasn't it? With a foot like wrapped around the back, to give him a tap on the back of the head as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, unreal, wasn't it? Yeah. I mean, it's going to happen, right? Our Hazan has got incredible power. If he's going to get you, he's going to get you early before the Nitros is gone.
Mm. What about Mershart, the spoiler?
Yeah, unbelievable.
He's like a middleweight Barbarino, isn't he?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. He just kind of sorts the...
He was getting licked up in that first round as well, wasn't he? Like, I was watching it, I was like, oh, okay, this is going exactly how we said this is going to go. Muradov was having his way. Mershart just didn't look like he was ready. He was turned up or whatever. And then it just slowly changed. And I said to you earlier, as soon as you saw those wild overhand rights coming from Muradov, you were like, oh shit, something's not right here.
Yeah.
Something's not right here at all. And he did that, it all finished. I think it was a quarter Nelson or half Nelson into a back take straight into the rear naked choke. It was a lovely sequence, wasn't it?
Yeah. He's a good grappler. He's just not very assertive in the first round. He tends to like look quite weak, even when he's like shooting for takedowns and stuff. He accepts not getting it really quickly. I don't like his
style. He looks really anxious in the first round, but then in the second round, he didn't look like that. He just looked really, really anxious. He looked like when he got caught in the headlights with Hamza.
That's what he looked like. Yeah, I think maybe he's realised he's that guy. He's the guy that gets the hot prospect that everyone's excited about seeing again. He's like, fuck.
Great.
Okay, here we go again. Yeah.
Yeah. Someone's hyped to ruin.
Yeah. What about Giga Chikadze? I'm skipping over the rest.
Yeah.
Kevin Lee's just not a welterweight. But he's not really a lightweight either.
No, he's caught in the...
He's a tweener, isn't he?
Yeah, tweener, yeah.
He's a tweener. I'd like to see him at 162. I'd like that weight class.
Giga was unreal,
wasn't
he? I'm
going to have to fucking make a promotion and create the weight class in order for it to happen. Yeah, I might do.
Giga was unreal. It was. I think I said in the preview, I thought it was underdone in MMA to get this level of fight against the guy he was fighting, but it couldn't be further from the truth. He just looked everything. I mean, it was competitive for a while, but everything he threw seemed quicker and caused more damage than what was coming back the other way.
Yeah.
He was so good. I don't know whether Barboza's at the same speed that he would have been when he was younger, but the age difference is not that much.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case though. No. I think Barbosa's quicker. I still think he is quicker. I think he was gun shy. I think he was tense. Right. I don't know whether he'd had a bad weight cut or whether he was just he was waiting constantly.
Yeah.
Even when he was pressing forward, like Chikadze was just moving, he was loose and he was going and he was, switching up his attack constantly.
Yeah, he's got weapons from every stance and every angle, hasn't he? Yeah. Maybe that's what was.
He just looked a lot looser.
There's no safe spot with him.
No, he looked good, but then Barbosa's a bit Vitor Belfort in that sense. He either shows up or he doesn't. I mean, I said it last week on the podcast. Like that right hand that he landed a couple of times against Macklin was one of the fastest punches I've seen.
He never showed me a distance.
No,
said
I didn't.
Sure, I'll have to look at it after this.
But then, he walked right into Giga's range and just wasn't doing anything.
Like
he was just so he was so. Anytime there was an opportunity, he was waiting a bit too long, and then Giga was going.
Yeah, Giga worked his body as well, didn't he? He put so much damage into his body.
Yeah, he looked really good.
He did. Good. I mean, he's calling out. He was number 10, right? And he's calling out the number one ranked guy. But there is a narrative who's the best striker? Who's the best striker in this division, irrelevant of rankings? Is it Max or is it Giga, Max Holloway's hung his hat on being the best. You say best boxer or best striker in the division?
He was talking shit about someone else saying they were the best boxer in MMA. I think he claimed that he was the best boxer, but I think it was a reply to somebody else.
Yeah, right.
Was it? Anyway, but this division's predominantly strikers.
Yeah.
If you look at it, what's going to happen is they're probably going to switch places, aren't they? Because they're 9 and 10 at the moment. Chikadze is probably going to move up to 9. Barbosa will drop down to 10. Then you look at everybody else above him: Ige, Emmett, Allen, Cater, Zombie, Rodriguez, Ortega and Holloway. Like,
yeah.
They're all good striking matchups.
There's a lot of fun fights to be had.
There are a few people there that are going to try and grapple with him.
Yeah.
So, why not shoot your shot? Like, call out everybody in the top of the fight. Because
it could happen.
It's a dice roll.
It could happen. Like, obviously, there's some system and process to what rank fights what rank. But if the UFC also operate on story...
Fuck, they might create a goddamn interim belt and you might be fighting for that by the end of the year.
They operate on story, you know. It's not a wasted call-out. No. You know, he could easily do that.
I'd like to see him against Calvin Kattar. I think that'd be a good fight. I think him against Yair Rodriguez would be good as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, any of those matchups, really. They might make him work his way through, like, you know, someone like an Iger and Emmett.
Mm.
And they're two guys that might force him to grapple a bit more. Who's he got to... Let me have a quick look. Because he's going to need...
He's doing the right things, isn't he? He's talking a lot. I see him pop up on social media all the time. He's talking a lot. He's calling people out.
Yeah.
And he's backing up what he says he's going to do.
And he's got a good following as well from his kickboxing days. So the UFC are going to push him.
It's the golden ticket, isn't it? Back up what you say. Say a lot and back it up. And, you know, they'll push you and push you and push you.
That's it. Okay. Anything else you want to say about that?
No, not really.
Okay.
All good.
All good.
apart from, apparently, according to the consumer feedback on our channel, Tough is not like it used to be.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, a lot of people are saying you're judging it on seasons past and they've chopped a lot of all the bullshit out and they show a lot of training and it's predominantly about the fights.
Okay. Mm. I might give it a watch. Yeah. I might test it on a Raptor first. I might give them the Clockwork Orange treatment. Just watch this season and let me know by the end of the day how it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they'll probably be up for that.
Give them a stopwatch and they can click it on when there's training footage so I can... Training or fight footage.
Mm.
Not interested in people getting drunk and knocking each other out.
No, but apparently it's not like... They've changed. It's not like that anymore.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Rehabilitated.
She's not like that anymore.
Rehabilitated.
Yeah.
Did they put Ultimate Fighter in rehab? Okay.
Till Brunson.
UFC London.
Yeah.
UFC
yeah,
London
pretty,
Vegas.
Pretty much.
UFC Vegas London.
It's a very European dominant card, isn't it?
We should try and start that hashtag. Hashtag UFC London
I'll
Vegas.
I'll tag it. I'll remember to tag it.
Okay. There's some good fights on this card.
There's really, really, really good fights on this card.
I think the first one's a banger. You got Martinez against Rojo.
So, Rojo fought...
He fought Charles Jourdan in his UFC
who's
debut.
Who's further up the card.
Yes.
And...
It was a wicked fight.
Yeah, it was. It was a war, wasn't it? Yeah. It was really good.
Yeah, good close-range boxer.
And I think he was winning the early exchanges. He was winning it, and it turned the tide a little bit. And I think... I think Air Jourdan was a bit more unorthodox than Rojo, and it ended up paying.
He got a bit banged up as well, didn't he? A bit swollen.
Yeah, but that was a cool fight, man. And
was.
I think he might have a little bit too much for Martinez. Martinez got shut down by Davy Grant, didn't he?
Yeah, you know what though? That was a weird one because it was a lovely technique by Davy Grant because he switched stances.
Yeah,
was he southpaw? He switched to orthodox and threw a lead hook and then a cross.
Yeah.
And it just caught him unawares.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a kind of hang back, can be a bit lazy and let the fight kind of pass him by.
It's coming. Rojo's a good...
For sure.
It's coming to him. Rojo's going to come
But he
come
is good.
Him.
I mean, you've got to think he's got a unanimous decision win over Thomas Almeida.
Yeah.
And Almeida's a good striker. He also got, you know, he stopped Frankie Saenz with that flying knee as well. He is a good fighter, but he can sometimes be outworked. I mean, you were outworked him for a split decision. Mm.
I think Rojo's coming. He's coming with a lot. He's very aggressive, isn't he? He's super aggressive. Yeah. He's going to come and, like, he bites down and...
Well, his nickname's Pitbull.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's it's not a lot.
Incredibly original, that, isn't it?
I bet
the UFC could make a whole fight card of people with a nickname,
the same nickname.
Pitbull.
Yeah.
UFC Pitbull.
There you
sponsored
go.
By Pitbull.
Yeah.
Guest appearance by Pitbull.
MC'd by Pitbull.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, the pitbull will take this. I think Martinez is pretty.
He's
good,
a good fighter. Yeah. He's a bit young. He's a bit mad. He's a bit serial killer mad.
Yeah,
I told you about him before, didn't I? About the videos he's got on his phone of him having street fights on cardboard and
you did.
That kind of shit.
Yeah,
he lived near like a juvenile prison.
Oh, was that him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's super silent and he doesn't want to say anything, and he's very kind of meek, and he doesn't. And then you go, so you're a serial killer? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
Love the killing thing.
Lay the cardboard out. Muay Thai, street fights. Yeah. And he had good tie clinch, elbows and knees, even when he's fighting on cardboard.
It's a good way to start the card.
It is a good way to start the card.
It's going to wake everyone up,
sure. Oh, fuck off, Adobe. Jesus. So always try and update my shit. Leave me alone. I'll update it when I want. Just like this goddamn vaccine. Software update. Okay, which way are you going? You're going for Roho, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna go the opposite way.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh well, this leads me in nicely to my little.
Go on then. Get out of your system.
I didn't go chasing this, but the person who told me wants to remain anonymous because he's worried about payback and retribution.
So that's someone from the gym there.
But not yeah, exactly.
So that narrowed it down.
Yeah,
immediately.
He's narrowed it down, but you know.
Okay.
So now we've started doing individual picks.
Yeah.
I'm smashing you.
Are you really? Yeah.
Smashing you.
Yeah, but I'm not being fucking serious. I'm being the antagonist.
I did actually say that. Is that half the time he's only picking the other one just fucking mug me off.
Fuck. I'm not bothered. They can keep
fucking
track.
Killed
of
that story. Just yeah, not well, giving a fuck's killed my story. There we go.
Listen, anyway. You see, you were ready. You thought you had something fucking good, and I was going to go, oh,
I've like
shit,
pre-warned you like four times. Picks,
like, you can...
As if you're that, as if. Anyway.
I don't take myself seriously.
Clearly. Look at the state of you. I don't know why I'm going down this route. I need you on my side. I've got enough to do.
I know, right?
Gym.
Burning bridges left, right, and centre. I noticed you've got eyeshadow left on one eye. Did you have a rough night last night and not wash it off?
Yeah, she backhanded me. No, and we've got it on camera as well.
Oh, yeah.
I renamed the Ridge Hand to a Bridge Hand.
A Bridge Hand.
And then Josh Bridge Handed me in training. And... blacked my eye.
Nice. Nice. I'll look
I don't know what the opposite
that.
Of child abuse is, but when you're abusing someone that is like 30 years older than you, there should be some kind of...
I only think you can press charges if he's your carer. Right. So we'd have to get him registered as your carer first.
Right, there you go. Not too far off. No. Although I do feel like I'm more his carer.
If he keeps hitting you like that, he'll need to be your carer.
No, it was funny. It was on camera. I might drop it in if we've got it.
Oh, I hope so.
Well, actually, I want to proof
it. Oh, no, of course. We'll have it slow mode. I mean, we had you landing a body shot on Sunday of the week. We've got to... We can't keep you that high. We've got to bring
just
you
get
back
it on
down.
Repeat, Josh's forearm just denting me in the eye.
Okay.
Anyway,
Dolce Lungambula against Marc-Andre Barrio.
You couldn't get more two opposite guys coming against each other, innit? It's
two ways, isn't it?
I've got six hits on nitros.
Yeah.
I've got no nitros, but I'm a fucking 6 liter diesel engine.
He's a power bar.
I'm going to go all the time.
Yeah. I mean, his nickname is literally Power Bar.
Is it?
And his last fight against Abu Azaitar is exactly what he needs to do in this fight. Just fucking hang in there.
Yeah. Just wait till the nitrous
he
is
needs
gone.
To, in, he don't and need a good. Photo of Dolce Lungambula on the fridge. He needs that poster with the cat hanging on the branch.
just
fucking...
Stay in there.
Just hang in there. Because that first round is going to be very difficult to deal with.
He's very, very, very powerful.
Right?
Yeah.
He's like, I mean, he's very fast, very powerful.
Yeah.
He's not particularly technical.
Just one fast twitch fiber. His whole body just twitches at the same time. When it goes. There's not what can he, you know, he's going to struggle with his cardio. He's heavily muscled.
Absolutely.
He's heavily fast twitch. He's got 90 seconds in a round, pretty much, depending on his output. I think the only way with guys like that is a better technical and tactical understanding in that, like, whenever we're at the gym and I'm listening to you guys coaching, a lot of the time you say the same thing that is just touch him. You don't have to whack everything. Like, we've got a couple of guys that throw with everything and everything, don't they?
Yeah.
And all they need to do, you know, whack him with the third and fourth, just touch him with the first two. And if he could get that concept in and he's still landing, he's still touching, he's setting the big shot up, he might be all right. But power on power is just gasses him out.
But I agree. But I'm just wondering how correctable it is. Like, is it like singing? Like, some people just can't fucking sing.
Yeah, maybe.
Some people can't keep a rhythm.
Maybe.
Like, maybe some people either press the button fully down or they don't. I don't know how trainable it is.
Like, surely, the concept of mastery is being able to control, you know what I mean? So you can control
absolutely
your punch speed. Sure, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. I just don't know. I don't know how much capacity for change the human body's got in that regard. Like, yeah. I have that drill that I do on the bag with a 4 or 5 punch combination. And I'll have whoever's training here, I'll pick one of the punches out of the combination to have power in it.
Yeah.
And 30% of people can't do it.
Really?
30% of people just bang it every time.
Yeah.
And even though they understand the concept, they can't pull the power out of the punches. They can't go touch, touch, bang, touch. Touch, 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 bang. Touch, bang, touch, yeah. touch. It's a good drill. Here you go. Try that at home on your bag.
There you go.
Like this, like jab, yeah, cross, hook, cross. Like... And change the power punch.
But if you can change the power in a punch,
mm-hmm.
you just can't get the you can't decide which punch it is. Mechanically, you can do it. It's just yeah. you're not connecting the process in your mind. You can do it.
Yeah. It's bringing awareness to the engagement. Although we were talking about, I won't mention her name. She's only got one volume to her voice. Right? Right, like yeah. some people can't control the volume of their voice.
Yeah.
They always talk really loud. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's like maybe that person just doesn't have that ability to.
Or maybe, yeah,
maybe it's not learnable for
punch
them.
Punch in the face enough.
Maybe, I don't know. Like, no, I mean, it's just it's a genuine question. Oh, yeah. Fucking hell! Oh, I'm not. No. it's a genuine question. I don't know. Like, I don't know whether like. Even if someone can understand the concept of it,
yeah.
whether they can, they actually have the ability to apply it.
I feel like if it's mechanically doable, then it's just a time thing.
You think?
It's just a time on the time on the drill thing.
So then maybe it's not. I mean, I'm better than me, but maybe this at Lady Bravo, you look into it. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's not controllable for some people. Like going back to the singing thing. Like some people just can't sing.
Yeah.
Maybe some people don't have that capacity of control.
Hmm. But if, yeah, I don't know. We'll have to, look at it over time. Like if you can get Joey Dakin to do it, you can get anyone to do
yeah.
it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe.
He drills at 90% power.
Right, exactly. But this is the thing, like what's the solution to it? Like, I can explain it to him.
Yeah.
Or you can get him exhausted to the point where then his technique starts to get sloppy yeah, and then there's no point.
Yeah, we've missed the point then. Haven't we? Yeah. I mean, I just think he's going to have this problem with Barryl.
Yeah.
Because he'll just get outlasted.
It's all or nothing
yeah.
for 60 to 90 seconds. And what Barryl's really good at is lasting.
Yeah.
Like, he was a two-weight champion in TKO, I think Barryl was. He's just a tough, well-rounded dude. He's able to fight anywhere the fight goes. He's not got a lot of finesse anywhere, but if you're exhausted, you're dead meat with him. Like it'll just roll over you. It'll mount you and beat you up.
He's very tough to finish, right? Has he been?
I think he's very tough to finish. Yeah, who was it that beat the funk out of him? Yeah, he's lost 3 decisions in the UFC,
and that's it, right? He's not actually been finished in the UFC. No.
He's actually not been finished.
No, decisions
all,
or...
All decisions, even in his amateur career back in 2012.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, he's a monster. And the thing is, he'll be there in the last round when Dolce Lung Yambola looks like he did against, what's his name, Perez. And he's
done.
And Barrio's just going to be there, boom, boom, digging him in the body, kicking his legs, ragging him around the cage.
Yeah,
as long as you don't get blasted out of there in the first round.
I mean, that's you can't write that off, can you? Even though all the stats are suggesting that Barryl is, well, very super difficult to finish.
Yeah, I'm going with Barryl all day.
Barryl.
Okay,
just going with what I'm going with now.
Of course I am. Yeah. I realise that you think the fucking picks matter. I'm actually going to pick the person I think wins instead.
Well, people think the picks matter. It's not me. I'm just relaying the information that I was given.
Exactly, because you care. I'm not bothered.
Oh, all right, calm down. Not another one of you.
Okay, so we're both picking the same. Yeah.
Yeah. Barryl.
Okay. Barryl.
Help your stats out.
All right.
Air Jordan and Julian Erosa.
Jordan.
Wicked. Good fight of the night.
Yeah.
I reckon this will be fight of the night.
Yeah, I agree.
Herr John Dan is good, man. He had a close one, Andre Feely. He had a close one with Josh Koulibaly. He had that war with Rojo that was already talked about. He loves fighting.
I think it. Yeah. I think both of these are going to be bands, not defense.
Yeah. They're coming at each other, aren't they?
They're both coming to deliver an entertainment as well as a finish. Both flying knees, both wild punches, both unorthodox, switching stances.
Yeah,
the only point of difference is Erosa's been doing it for a good bunch of time longer. I mean, he's paid for it, you know, by 2/3 more because he's got 9 losses compared.
Yeah.
But
he's been in the he's got a wealth of experience, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's a lot of fun to watch as well.
He's high risk, isn't he? He plays a high risk game. That Choi fight was sort of going all right, but I think the first three things that happened is that Choi traded a low kick from Erosa like 3 times on the bounce.
Mm.
Traded a low kick, Erosa threw it again, traded the low kick, threw it again. I think he hit a 1-2 on him. And he just kept coming, but then ultimately like Choi was on point that night, wasn't he?
He was. He was. And he can bang as well, you know.
Yeah.
I think the thing that keeps coming back into my mind is because they've got such a similar fighting style in the fact that they're a bit chaotic and unorthodox, I always, when I see that, I always start to err on the side of the person that's been doing it for longer. Mm. Because although Jordan, I think he's a very good fighter, I think he's very talented, we have seen him struggle and be vulnerable in fights. He has lost rounds. He has, you know, pulled fights back. I mean, that Rojo fight wasn't going his way until it was.
Yeah.
You know? And it's, you know, same with the with Koulibaly and Andre Feely. Like, they were always a bit ragged, a bit back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes if you've been doing that longer, you've got a better understanding of how to ride that space.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's matched for Air Jordan to win. But I think Junior Erosa comes in to spoil it.
Do you?
I do, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'd be amazed if this goes to decision. Surely someone's getting whacked up in
You
this.
Would think. They're double flying knee at one another.
You get some odds on that. Right. Well, I thought Air Jordan's going to win this.
Imagine. You reckon, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, now you're just picking up.
You've justified it. Well, I get your point.
Look, you know, I don't really care either way. I like both fighters. I just always err on the side of experience when it's someone that's got quite a chaotic style because they've been doing it longer.
Yeah, it makes sense.
You know, and Erosa's been around the game for a while. He's coming off a loss, isn't he, as well?
Yeah.
Coming off that Choi loss.
Choi loss.
Yeah. Okay.
He's been knocked out a few times, Julian, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, because he's got a high-risk style.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he is, you know, but he is, you know, he is tough and he is durable. And he has come back from having some rough rounds as well. So, yeah, I'm not changing my mind. You're not swaying me.
No, I wouldn't even waste my energy attempting to sway you.
Okay. You're
the most stubborn man I've ever met. How dare you?
I think that's unreasonable.
How dare you?
I think that's unreasonable.
I mean,
I'm not disagreeing with it. Necessarily.
You are
well,
stubborn.
You know, you have bad ideas, so I have to be stubborn sometimes.
That's true. That is true.
Okay, Jack Shaw against who's he fighting this
Ludovic.
Week? How many times has this changed?
A lot.
So we had Nurmagomedov to start with, Saeed Nurmagomedov, who withdrew due to visa issues, if I remember right.
Yeah.
And then he was fighting Zviad Laj.
Ooh,
why
tricky.
Can't I say that?
Lazishvili.
Yeah, okay.
Lazishvili.
And now he's fighting someone whose name is also not very easy to pronounce. So I'm just going to call him...
Shaolinian.
Ludwig Shaolinian.
Jack Shaw's just like, yeah, whatever. I don't care. Whatever. Oh, I'm going to the fight. So if you want someone there, you want me to fight him, just bring him in. Sweet.
Yeah, just put someone across in the other corner from me. Now, this one thing I will say about Shaolinian is he's a tough scrapper.
Yeah, I watched a couple of his M1 fights in prep for this.
Well, he's come through, what's it called, Anthony? The Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah.
And he lost to the guy that won a decision at the weekend, the Ricky guy. Turquoise. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, that one.
I will watch it. You've got to.
Yeah. You've got to shift it. Clockwork
Orange.
You've got to shift.
Clockwork Orange your way through it. Put two of those in you.
Yeah.
Anyway,
watch
you
the
like.
Whole season. Feedback. PowerPoint presentation, please. He's a Ukrainian national wrestling team member.
Yes.
So you're going to be all right.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah.
But like Jack, how good is Jack Shaw's wrestling?
It's good. It's MMA for wrestling, but it's grappling. It's his ability to take the back.
Yeah.
That's really where he shines. But then in his last fight against Hunter Azure, I mean, he stood and traded a bit too much for me. Mm. He made it more difficult than I think he needed to. I think he could have got him out of there. But, you know, I think he's got the same situation here with Shalinian. I think he's like he'll be there in the third round, trading punches. The one thing I did notice is he's very, very heavy on his lead leg, and he kind of spears his right hand.
Right.
So, like, and Jack Shaw's got a wickedly low kick. Like, he'll chop that leg to bits, which is going to make that forward pressure difficult.
Yeah.
But I expect if this is a grappling match, then, you know, Shalinian might be able to either nullify or better Jack Shaw in the wrestling.
Mm.
But then once it hits the floor, that's where Jack's jiu-jitsu takes over.
He's good, man.
I'm not picking against Jack Shaw, of course.
No.
Oh, you pick?
Nah.
See?
What do you mean,
unbelievable.
See?
It's so,
I've got notes,
it's so predictable,
bro.
Isn't it?
I've got notes.
Exactly.
You can check against mine.
He's got notes.
I don't know why you hate against notes.
Do you sit and...
Would you want me to sit here and just say nothing? Because I can't remember anything past Sunday night.
That's because of sparring, I've told you.
It is. I tell you what, I'll take one of these all day compared to this fucking Jimmy's downward elbows to the top of your quads is his new little thing that he keeps doing.
Yeah, of course.
From side control.
Yeah.
And if you're in his guard. And, like, I just black my eyes. I'll take them all day. At least I can walk properly for a week.
Horrible.
Horrible. Horrible.
He always finds a way to get to you.
PhD in violence.
Okay, Jack Shaw.
Yeah, Jack Shaw.
Rear naked choke for the beginning of the second
round. He's young, he's tough, he's on an upward trajectory, and we like him, don't we?
Yes.
Very much so.
Okay, Molly McCann against Ji-Yong Kim.
She should be called the zombie.
Wait, this is a fucking scrap. Ji-Yong Kim is like walk forward, heavy on the front leg, bang.
Don't make any facial expressions at all.
None.
No matter what happens.
None, ever.
Nothing. She's got a hell of a chin on her, isn't she?
Yeah.
People whack her and she just keeps walking.
Yeah.
I wonder if this works out all right for Molly because she's not very fast, Kim, is she?
She's not fast.
Everything's a little...
She's very upright and she's very straight.
A bit ploddy. Like if she was a runner, she'd be plodding. She's on a 5K jog.
For sure.
I just wonder whether Molly's boxing can catch her, but she's so hard to put away, man. She just takes some big licks and she just walks through them. Like, I don't know.
I think most likely Molly by decision.
Yeah.
Because I think if you think of the way that Molly fights, she's very good at close range and she's very good at generating power close range because she sways from one side to the next. And I think with Kim being taller and having a longer reach, it's going to allow Molly to kind of be at that range where she can kind of sway side to side and come over and club her. And because Kim stands quite upright, I mean, you know, if she establishes a jab, you know, and he's able to keep Molly on the outside, it's going to be really difficult. But like you said, she's not, I don't think she's as fast as she needs to be to do that.
It's going to be a very different fight to the Procopio fight, right? Lara just basically stormed after it and brought the fight to her. I don't feel like Kim's going to do that, is she?
No, it's much more of a steadier pace. Yeah. What is it? Six? Oh, I've got the stats pulled up here. Let me have a look.
Alexa Grasso whacked Kim with some like solid shots.
She's got a chin.
Jesus, solid shots.
Ji-Yong Kim's got a 3-inch height advantage and a 10-inch reach advantage.
Fucking hell.
Quite big, isn't it?
That is a lot, yeah. Mm. But like you're saying, if she's on the inside rolling and...
Jamie just measured 10
inches.
Out 10
inches. That's what 10 inches is, yeah. You're right, Jamie. You keep telling them that, Jamie.
Oh dear, 10 inches. Right. Molly's got a slightly higher work rate as well. Higher work rate, higher striking accuracy, less strikes absorbed per minute, and a higher striking defense.
Right.
And she lands takedowns. although only 30%, but she also has submission attempts. So I'm taking Molly by decision. I think she's just going to be too much for Kim. She's going to come in at a pace. She's coming off a couple of losses. She's got a point to prove. Both of those were by decision. She's not going to want to lose another decision. She's going to want to come in and fucking make a point. I think she's going to
win this.
I think she's going to club her around the sides of the head and grapple with her. Beat her by decision.
I agree.
Of course you fucking do.
It's on paper. Let's start that. It's on paper. Right. Vendramini against Paddy the Baddy.
What do you reckon? It's going to sound massively biased the way that we're picking these. I think Paddy's going to rear naked choke him. I think Paddy's going to be able to get to him and take his back and rear naked choke him quite quick.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I do. I think Vendramini's got really good sub-defense. We saw that in the Zaleski dos Santos fight, which was welterweight. You know, he came in short notice for that one, didn't he? I think he's tough. I just think he lost that majority decision to Faraz Ziam, and I think it's because he's a bit... He hangs back a little bit, you know. I expect it. I mean, obviously, I know he stopped to Yesen Yari with the head kick first round, but I feel like Paddy's so focused on this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Most of the time, his opponents can't even get into it.
Okay,
I think that's what he's really good at. Even his losses, you know, even when he lost to Soren Back, like he was on his back for on Soren Back's back for the whole of the first round. I've never seen a deep rear naked choke like that not work.
Mm.
But then you look at Paddy then and you look at him now, he looked like a 15-year-old then. And now he looks like he's ready to sign with the UFC. Like what Rygor Paul's done with him, he's...
He looks like a professional athlete.
He does.
He does look like a professional
athlete. I think for the first time he is, you know, I think that's the difference. I think Paddy's going to be able to take his back pretty quickly. Might even sting him with a couple of shots, rush in, bang, bang, bang. Stuns him against the fence. Vendramini drops against the fence. Paddy jumps on his back. Rear naked choke with like one hook in, kind of twisted off to the side. You know if that fucking happens right now.
Yeah, I know. We're like, I'm not saying shit ever again. It's exactly like that. I think I've just got a bad feeling. I watched Paddy's last two fights and they were not of a level to prepare him. You know, I know, you know, you can only fight what you're given, can't you? And there's a level up coming. Whether Vendramini is exactly that, I'm not sure, but he's definitely going to be a harder fight than Paddy's last two.
The other thing as well, I just want you to bear in mind, is this was supposed to be UFC London.
Mm.
So these guys have been matched for their skill set in the matchmaker's eyes. I think
this is not the original fight, though. Is this the original Benjamin, fight?
I'm not sure. But, you know, obviously, like, the UFC are going to recognize... Like, if they were trying to cultivate Vendramini's career, they wouldn't be giving him Paddy, because they're matching with the expectation of Paddy to win. Right?
Yeah.
What?
I don't know if you know we're on air. Do you want to take that?
What? I'm just person detected inside my front door.
You know? Get the guns.
Might be a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, it is. I think it's V.
Yeah, there you go then. Exactly. Anyway.
Another one offside.
No, look, all I'm saying is like Vendramini has been in the UFC a bit, right? So he was bought in short notice, upper weight class. Like, consider that, right? He came into the UFC undefeated at 8-0. He was given Zaleski dos Santos at welterweight. That's not an easy fight for anybody's UFC debut, and he got starched with a flying knee. Then he goes down a weight class and gets Yesen Yari, who was also cutting down a weight class, and that's like
gimme.
You know, not necessarily a gimme, but more even. Yeah, it was like, we'll kind of see where he's at now. Range he's in his finder. Right weight class. Yeah. And then, you know, that for Azam was a similar kind of step up.
And you think they've sort
he's like one and one. I don't
sort of made the decision on him. They're like, oh.
I don't think they would have been particularly impressed with that Ziam fight, because he, you know, although he was although he looked better in the later rounds, he looked gun shy all the way through it, and I don't know. I think they're expecting Paddy to be able to jump on him pretty quickly. That's just my take on it, because, you know, like, Paddy's marketable, you know, Paddy's easy to build.
He's marketable with subtitles.
I think he speaks very clearly. He's much easier to understand than Till.
Than Darren, yeah.
Yeah.
Although
his Instagram is suspended almost as much time.
is it? Yeah, I mean, look, Paddy's a good fighter. He's got great energy about him. I like, you know, he's just buzzing all the time, and he puts that across really well, and it almost endears you to him because you're like, oh, fucking, I believe in it. You know, you seem like you believe in it enough that I believe in it.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's you know, his physical conditioning has been turned around really. Like you said, he just looks like an adult version of the one we've seen before.
And you know, he's got 19 fights on his record.
Yeah.
Like Vendramini signed with the UFC at 8-0, but when that same option was offered to Paddy, he turned it down.
Yeah,
that shows a bit smart, of, you know, that's a confident gamble that is, you know. And I think he was right to do it in hindsight.
He said a few times, hasn't he? I just wasn't ready.
He's right.
Blow my chance, sort of.
Absolutely.
Thing, like. Yeah.
He's right. And I think he is ready now. And I think that, I think this is a first round rear naked choke for him.
Ooh, nice.
I've told you exactly how it's going to happen anyway.
Yeah, you are.
I mean, I've already seen the scripts. I'm still on some of the email chains. Sometimes I'll get the scripts.
They've left
through.
You on.
We're like, oh, shit.
This is exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
If they want their bonus, this is what they will do. See him sat there.
Oh, you've got to drum your fingers if you're evil. That's the evil move.
Yeah.
Okay. Khalil Rountree against Modestus Bukauskas.
Yeah.
Similar kind of situation here. Like, I think this is matched for Bukauskas to win. I think
we chatted about him before, didn't we? Who did he fight before?
Well, if you remember that very first fight that he had, it was a weird stoppage because the guy kind of, he hit him with a couple of elbows.
Yeah.
And the round ended. They opened the gate and he kind of fell out of the gate.
Oh, yeah, he did, yeah.
And the referee called it.
Yeah.
I think it was the right thing to do. Michaelides, when he stood up, he was still kind of wobbly and stuff.
I think we might have talked about before that, before we were outlawed.
Yeah.
That might be a pre-outlawed picture. Okay,
no, one of the three.
Yeah. last long.
But then Jimmy Crute baby giraffed him, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that wasn't a good look. And then Mikhail Oleksiyuk is a really awkward fight for everybody. I mean, he's always a surprise when he steps in there. What's he's got a win over? Oh, yeah, it was Jan Vellante. Stopped him with a body shot. Ante Golov stopped him with uppercuts in the first round.
He's very, Modestus is very good. He's very, very athletic. And I like the way he moves. For a reasonably big dude, he moves very well. But Khalil's been around, man. He's fought some serious people. He's beat Paul Craig.
I called that fight. Of course he did. Yeah,
yeah.
And Gokhan Saki. Yeah, yeah. I know he's got good wins, but he just kind of
Eric Anders.
He stumbles a bit
with the higher tier. Mm. Yeah, this is that level.
Kutalaba jumped on him, didn't he? Just kind of.
Yeah, man.
I will say one thing. Do you remember
those elbows that Kutalaba hit him with?
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, and Johnny Walker put him down with an elbow, didn't he, as well? Like, I think it's a very competitive fight, and I think if Khalil comes in believing in his Thai boxing game and being able to keep it in that range, I think he can smash Bukauskas' legs to pieces because he is very kind of long range, but then Bukauskas is going to be taller and have a reach advantage, isn't he? I think he's about 6'4". He's a good example of another one of those light heavyweights that's just, you know, and he's not even grown into his frame properly yet. He's a big dude.
I got Modestus in this.
Have you? Yeah.
Yeah. I think broad... Yeah,
2 inches
the,
in height.
The broader spectrum of skills... It goes to Modestus.
Yeah. 2 inches in height and reach for Modestus. And, I think the smart money is Modestus. I think he outpoints him. I think
the other thing in these stats is that I pick the favourites most of the time.
Oh, dear,
But when I do pick the underdog, they normally come through.
Oh, fuck it.
Not that we sat for 3 hours talking about.
Yeah, right? He's dedicated a whole room in his house to spreadsheets on the walls.
It's like lines going everywhere. No, it's just, you know, I thought it'd be interesting.
Hey, look, whatever floats your boat, my friend. Whatever makes
Cheers,
you feel
Johnny.
Good. Whatever makes you feel good about yourself.
Like I always say, it's the little wins.
Yeah.
I got it. You think the smart money's Modestus?
Yeah, I think Modestus does it. I think Khalil can. I think the tipping point for Khalil is his psychology. I think if he has a good first round and he starts to believe in himself, then he's a difficult person to deal with.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he does hit hard. He has got good skills.
Yeah.
You know, but then if he struggles in the first round, if he starts getting lit up with that long jab, and he can't get inside, and he starts to unravel psychologically. Yeah. I think that's where Modesta starts.
Modesta can do that, couldn't he? Because he's quick. I don't necessarily mean he's striking, but his footwork is quick, and he gets in and out, and he's laterally moves very quickly.
Yep.
He
came through Cage Warriors. He had a couple of really good fights in Cage Warriors. Was he a two-weight champ as well? I don't remember. I remember him having a couple of real good scraps on Cage Warriors, though, which went into the later rounds. Yeah, Martin Hamlet.
Yeah.
Fourth round, TKO. Lots of first round finishes, though. You know what I mean? So it's like that would be ideal for him if he can get out of there and put the pressure on Khalil early.
Mm.
That wasn't easy to say. Okay. So which way are you going? Modestus?
Yeah, Modestus.
Okay.
Same.
Two stamps for Modestus.
This...
Scrap.
Is going to be fun. In it?
Yes, it is. Zawada against Morono. So David Zawada is the Zawada brothers. Him and his brother have been around on the UK MMA scene for a long time. His brother's like a proper UK veteran, like a European veteran. And obviously he now trains his brother, his younger brother David. A real good fighter. Good off his back. Talented striker, up and down in the UFC. I mean, that
you got to go watch that Danny Roberts fight. You want to watch a fight where people have emptied the tank, like they couldn't have given any more, could they? Right until the last second.
Yeah,
it was an unbelievable fight.
And then on the flip side, Alex Morono is a good black belt. You know, he's got good submissions, but he's quite happy to just stand and trade punches with people.
It's like two hurricanes meeting each other.
Banger.
Yeah, absolutely. Morono's got that angry strength aura about him. Like, he just looks like he's angry.
He does look like a big kid, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. A big angry kid.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a coin toss.
I'm guessing the striking technicians out there will say Morono, he just loads up on everything too much.
Yeah, he does.
Like, he's throwing lunges. leaps in, lunges in. He's like, argh! And he could go back to what we were saying before about tap, 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 bang.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be wicked. I feel like, I don't know if you'd agree, that Zawada is a little bit more of a technician, certainly standing. And then maybe Morono has a little bit of the edge in the wrestle, but like, it's not like Zawada can't wrestle him. And you know, they're both solid on the ground.
I think it's going to be difficult for... On the feet, I think Zawada's more technical. Mm. I do. I think he's got a more diverse striking game, but I do think Morono can make up for that by just covering distance quickly. I think it'll be a mess in the clinch, both of them elbows and knees. And I think Morono's got the wrestling advantage, like you said, but I do think Zawada can work well off his back, and I think if he is on the ground, he will be on his back.
He's super busy in that Nurmagomedov Danny Roberts fight.
Yeah, and the Nurmagomedov fight with that triangle. I mean, that was a beautiful finish.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a coin toss. I'm going to go with Zawada, but I think most likely Morono is going to win a decision. I think he's going to be busier.
Yeah, talking about like how the UFC lay things out for you. So Zawada comes in, has that war with Danny Roberts, then they give him the leech to write the shit with, right?
Yeah, and that was a body kick, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then Nurmagomedov.
Yeah.
And then some fighters to
just, yeah, this is it. Some fighters are just like, I think some fighters, when they sign the UFC contract, they immediately go, they're never going to fight for a title. So they then become like this expendable commodity where they kind of just, you know, they use them
cannon
to kind of, you know, I mean, it's like what we were talking about with boxing, but the difference is these guys aren't journeymen. They're just a tier below
in
elite.
For a little bit. Yeah,
and I think both of these guys are in that same class. I don't think we'll ever see Morono fighting for a world title, but I think both of these guys are really good Gerald Mershots.
Yeah, roster fighters.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I think it's a good scrap.
I got Zawada.
Yeah, I want Zawada to win. I think most likely Morono by decision, but I would like Zawada to win. So you can put the stamp where you want on that one, Jamie. I'm not really bothered. Stick it right in the middle. Stick it over Ollie's face.
Yeah.
Co-main event. Aspinall against Spivak. Or Spivik. Or Spivik.
Yeah.
Or Spavak.
Seems like Spivak to me. But...
No, it's Spivak. But if you listen to his last fight,
it was getting massacred.
He got seven different names. This was originally supposed to be Sergei Pavlovich.
Yeah, it was.
So they traded the Sergeys.
This is the polar bear, right?
This is a polar bear.
Yeah. Again, it's going to sound like we're very biased towards our fellow countrymen. I just think Tom is cleaner and crisper.
He is.
And it's not that Sergei can't box. You know, Sergei's got some good boxing, right?
So yeah, he's a bit more of a plodder. Like Aspinall's more athletic. He's a bit quicker. I mean, you know, you've got to think he's been sparring with Darren Till for 10 years.
Yeah.
Who, you know, he moves well, and Tom Aspinall would have had to speed himself up, speed his footwork up. He's a very efficient fighter. I think Tom's definitely got the advantage, moving in and out of range and landing a good variety of nice technical strikes. I think Spivak can walk you down and kind of bounce a lot of stuff off and, you know, kind of get inside. The main issue is if Aspinall finds himself on the bottom of Spivak, because he's just massive.
Yeah.
And he's good at holding that position. He's difficult to sub from that position, as we saw against Olenek. And he'll just beat you up.
I almost hope, in a way, Aspinall comes through this, because he's this mould we've spoken about before of the new heavyweights.
Mm.
This is the Cyril mould. You know, this is what we think is going to come through, and that was what heavyweights will look like in the end. Is that they can move, they're on the bounce, they can get in and out, close distance really fast. He's Tom Sharp, man, and he's sharper than a big you'd expect from a big guy, isn't he?
He is. And I mean, there's not a massive size difference. I think they're around the same weight. But I think Spivak in top position is going to be
Well,
Tom's actually taller. Same reach, both 78 inches, but Tom's 6'5", Sergei's 6'3". And Tom's got a much higher striking output, 7.43 compared to 3.85. 0% takedown offense for Tom Aspinall. Has anyone tried to take him down? 100% takedown accuracy. Yeah, but then you know, he's got a sub game as well. I mean, he's a lifelong grappler, isn't he, Tom Aspinall? I think Aspinall should win it. I think the only problem is if he gets stuck on bottom and he can't get up and he gets tired trying. That's the only way I think he struggles here. But I think Tom should win this one. I think he should.
Yeah, I agree. I hope so.
I'm picking Tom.
I like him, man. I think he can be. He can figure.
Mm.
He can definitely figure.
Mm, for sure. Yeah. And you know, and he's got some time to grow.
How old is he?
Oh, he's young. He's only had 12 fights as
28,
well.
28 at heavyweight is nothing, is it?
No, not at all. He's got another 12 years yet before he hits his peak.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's got another decade of training and competing.
Yeah, imagine how good he'd be in 5 years.
Yeah.
Like anyway.
It. All right, main event.
Go on then, what's your take? I've done a war room on
You've just
this.
Done it.
It's up tonight, so it'll be up by the time this comes up.
I've gone back and forth. Like, Darren is considerably more dangerous on his feet than Brunson, right? I don't think anyone's really going to question that. And Brunson, when he's fought the guys...
Quantify dangerous.
range of attacks.
Okay.
Right, he definitely has more variety to his attacks, and the attacks that he most uses that he's you know, what you would associate Darren with, he's very, very good at. Closes distance very, very quickly, right? Counters very nicely, blitzes you real fast.
Mm-hmm.
And for reasonably sized dudes, like, he covers distance very, very quickly. Yeah. We're all right with that. Did I get a tick?
Tick. It's a very conscious game. Because the thing is, like, I talk a bit about it in the war room. Like, it's not that Derek's not dangerous on the feet. He's just not technical.
Yeah, he has power, but
he has enthusiasm. But I think he's suffered in recent fights. Like, if you go back, there was a 5-fight win streak where he stopped 4 guys in the first round.
Mm.
Like, and he was just blasting through guys like Sam Alvey, who else? Machida, Dan Kelly.
Yeah, Machida was the anomaly in that, though, wasn't he? Because that
was the one he wasn't moving forward when he landed.
Right, okay.
Machida was moving across and he caught him with a counter left.
But he's an anomaly in terms of every time that Brunson fights someone who's further advanced in striking, Anderson, Izzy, Whittaker, and Lyoto was the anomaly, because I would class him as the same level striker as those guys. Mm. He's struggled and he's lost.
Yeah.
And yeah. Darren's not too far off that, right? If you had a top trumps card, Darren, like, you're gonna weight striking over anything else, and he does sort of bounce and move like an elite striker.
He does. He does. He's got a far more advanced striking game.
Yeah.
But then,
which makes me, that led me on to thinking that's the tipping point here, is that when Brunson's good, solid fighter, beats a lot of people, but when he does come up against those guys who've mastered striking, he struggles a little bit.
Mm.
And that's where I sort of saw Till having a little bit of the advantage.
Yeah. But then Brunson, in his last couple of fights, you know, you particularly look at the Shabazzian fight, when he's against someone who is a good striker,
yeah,
and could potentially make him uncomfortable on the feet, he leaned on his wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, he did the same thing with Elias Theodoro. And if he gets someone to the ground, most of the time he's able to pressure them with strikes until they turn and give their back. You know, he is a good grappler. I think he's a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, as well as a Division II All-American. And Darren's got good takedown offense.
Yeah.
But this is a 5-round fight, and if Brunson's persistent with his takedowns, then Till could get frustrated or tired.
Brunson's been active.
He's been
really active. Darren's, it's over a year, right?
Yeah.
Well, almost
14
a year, maybe.
Months it is.
Okay,
it's
over
14
a year
months for Till, because he broke his collarbone, didn't he? Like, it makes sense for Brunson to start fast, but I don't think he's not the fast starter that he was.
Mm.
Like, this is where stats kind of get all over the place, because he had a, what was it, 4-fight win streak. So he had Ed Herman, 36 seconds, Sam Alvey, 219, Ron Carneiro, 238, and Uriah Hall, 141. Like, they were all blitzers.
Yeah.
Like, he waited and he waited and then he just went.
Yeah.
And there's that moment where his anxiety peaks and he just charges. But then he did the same thing against Whittaker, and it was working until it wasn't. He stalled when he got caught. And then Anderson Silva, his confidence was just shot. Kind of like when Ngannou came off the Stipe fight and he just didn't look like himself.
Believe in himself.
But what I learned about him in the Anderson Silva fight is when the takedown fails, then he starts to get anxious. Because it's like this safety net of unknown.
Yeah.
You know,
if he
feels like if he goes out there in the first round and tries to take Darren down 3 times and he fails every time and Darren makes it look easier and easier, then his safety net's gone, and now he knows he has to strike with Till, and that's when anxiety starts to creep in, and that's when he's way more vulnerable, like he was against Izzy.
Mm.
Like, he couldn't take Izzy down. He was able to pop back, you know, break away pretty quickly. So like, there's a tipping point here where Till can break his confidence early. However, if Brunson thinks that he might not be able to take Till down, then he might not try, so he's always got that potential safety net in his back pocket. And then he'll stand and trade with Darren, and that's where his striking's going to be massively exposed. Because, you remember when I was training with Owen Comrie, and then, right at the start of the training camp for Swick, I started training with Steve Papp.
Mm.
And I went from, 6'2", long-range kickboxer, to, 5'7", short-range, pit bull terrier.
Yeah.
I didn't have time to integrate that style. Like, I could do the stuff, worked it on the pads, worked it on the bag, you know, a little bit in sparring, but I'd not had enough time to go from...
Encode it in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And my concern with Brunson is that he's, 3 fights into training with Sanford MMA, so he's working on pads with Hooft, but he's not had enough time for that to integrate into it, becoming a part of his confidence. But his confidence is also not there in charging
it's
forward
even
recklessly.
More dangerous.
Yeah.
That he might think that it has encoded into his subconscious when it actually hasn't. So you now think, oh, actually, I could probably stomp down.
Yeah.
Training with Henry Hoof. You know what I mean? Like, I'll be all right.
He might not even be aware that there's that game there that Darren Till plays.
Yeah.
That's where striking's a bit of a weird thing, because there's a... Like when Vittori was talking before the Adesanya fight, we spoke about it before. He's just not aware that there's a level of striking above what he comprehends. And that's where Till's very good.
There's an attic he didn't know was there.
Didn't know was there.
Yeah. The only thing, I think Darren should win it, but I'm worried a little bit about his inactivity and him coming off an injury compared to Brunson, who's active and, you know, riding pretty high. He's looking pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, conversely, to your point, if Brunson does, even if Teal bounces back up, if Brunson can take him down, and Brunson now knows that's there if he needs it, it's the reverse, isn't it?
Mm.
He's got that safety. He knows he can get him down if he needs to. He can set that up better knowing it's there. Yeah.
Like, I'm not picking against Darren because I don't have to be impartial anymore for any reason. My logical head says that Brunson wins by decision, though.
Yeah.
Because I think Darren, he often starts well. You know, like against Whittaker, cracked him with that lovely elbow. Mm. And that all came from him feinting and edging his way into range and getting Whittaker to bite and start trying to counter with a hook. And Darren's a very educated striker, but when you see him against another educated striker, sometimes that's when you see him really exposed, is because it becomes a bit of an over-analysis. Mm. We saw it a bit with Whittaker. We saw it a lot with Wonderboy.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's got that problem here, but I think because his understanding of striking is so much greater, he might play a bit too much.
Right. You not think he'll get Brunson responding to the twitches and the feints and stuff and be able to...
But that's when Brunson starts trying to tie him up.
Right.
And starts rushing into range. Until a couple of times was exposed throwing that elbow against Whittaker.
Yeah.
Because, Whittaker was able to feint like he was throwing a right hand and level change. And this is Southpaw v Southpaw as well. Mm. You know, it's a different thing again. Like, Till stepping in, he's going to square his hips up to that double leg. Yeah, my logical head says that Brunson's a really difficult fight for him based on his last couple of fights.
Yeah.
You know, Shabazzian and Holland. I think Till can have a couple of really good rounds, but if Brunson's able to get through those first couple of rounds and get him on the floor, it might be a long night for Till, like in half guard bottom, trying to get an underhook and just getting peppered and beaten up.
Hmm. Yeah, right.
But I think Till will win.
Yeah, I think Till's going to catch him.
Of course you do.
Of course I do. Yeah, I think Till's going to catch him, yeah. Mm. It's a good card, man. It is. There's some really good fights on there. I'm looking forward to it.
It is. Very good. And we've also got a bunch of preview shows going up, Wednesday? Glory 78 this weekend.
Yes.
So the Super Fight series is streaming on our channel. I believe it's starting at 5 p.m. I think it's starting at 5 p.m. on our channel. So we'll have three or four fights, including Super Series, Belgaria against Vise. It's going to be lightning. So make sure you check that out. That'll be streaming live on the Full Reptile channel for free. And then the Glory 78 pay-per-view starts straight after, and all the details will be on the channel for that.
Keep your eye out on the Full Reptile social media and your social media, because we've got a couple of free pay-per-view codes that we'll give out in some sort of competition. So if you want to win a free pay-per-view for Glory 78, then keep your eye out on the social media channels. Last quick shout out to C4 and to
NordVPN.
They're new. If you'd like to jump on at NordVPN/ Outlawed, you will get 73% off. Practically giving it away. 73% off a 2-year plan and 4 months free of charge. So jump on there and get involved. Then you will be able to watch whatever you want, whenever you want.
That's worth it just to watch stuff that's been geo-blocked.
Yeah.
Just for the freedom.
People do geo-block stuff unreasonably.
That's bullshit. It's number one bullshit.
All right.
Inside the Octagon's gone. Inside the Octagon.
Inside Octagon.
Inside Octagon.
Inside Octagon.
That's a shame.
Inside Octagon. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
You know, build shit round people, then take them away.
Check out the War Room for Darren Till Brunson, and get NordVPN and check out my breakdown show on the BT Sport YouTube channel,
which you can watch anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world.
If you use NordVPN. Right. Nice one, bro.
Nice one.
Bob. See you next week.
Catch you next time.